This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, February 20th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. If you're considering turning a house into a rental property, there are important factors to consider. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, around 1 in 8 large-cap American companies and 1 of 3 small caps are losing money. Let's discuss what that means for the stock market with Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. 1 in 8 large caps, 1 of 3 small cap firms all losing money. How does that compare to the baseline? Because even when times are great, somebody somewhere is underwater.
Well, that's right. So there is a phenomenon of unprofitability that we have to recognize that just goes with the territory. But overall, the trend is for an increasing percentage of companies, both large and small cap, to be unprofitable going back several decades. And it's a real worrisome sign because, after all, we have to remember that if we bracket for the moment the 2-month recession right after the lockdown that accompanied the COVID-19 pandemic, we have not had a recession in this country since 2008 and early 2009. And that 16-year period is the longest period in U.S. history of economic expansion. And to have this many companies unprofitable and the trend of increasing unprofitability is a worrisome sign, given how at this point, if you can't make a profit in this economy, I don't know what you can do.
Now, is this also a situation? I mean, every company is different. Every business plan is different. But it seems, especially when we take a look at the tech sector, a lot of companies are unprofitable almost by design. They borrow a lot of money, and the goal is to be acquired by somebody somewhere along the line. And does that reflect that trend, that the purpose is to go into business just to be acquired by somebody?
Well, I mean, that phenomenon definitely exists, and that may account for some of the trend. But I mean, it reminds me of the old joke that, you know, when you're losing money and then the guy says, well, I'm going to make it up on volume. Eventually, you have to start making a profit. And we're not looking at, a company here or there that may be playing that game. We're looking at all of corporate America together. And when you see this widespread phenomenon of unprofitability, I don't see how you can completely account for it in terms of a Silicon Valley game plan for making a lot of money.
Now, does this mean that the stock market or equities may not necessarily be an accurate reflection of the state of publicly traded companies?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. I mean, it seems to me that this does represent publicly traded companies. I think the phenomenon that why we're seeing the market hit all-time new highs while we're having this it's sort of an internal deterioration of greater unprofitability is that profits in this economy are being more and more concentrated in a few companies. And so we've known this for several years. We talk about groups called the Magnificent Seven or the FANG stocks. We come up with these lovely acronyms on Wall Street to try to account for them. And they have been accounting for an increasing share of the S&P 500. The problem with that is that it is if all of them were to stumble at the same time, then the market would really, really fall in a big way. And I, in the column that in chart that accompanies my column on the site, the MarketWatch website today, I focus on the biggest drawdowns that these stocks, these Magnificent Seven, have suffered in recent years. And it, on average, it's over a 50% drop. It just happens to be we've been lucky that they haven't all stumbled at the same time. But there's no guarantee we won't be so lucky in the future.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, converting your home into a rental property.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Turning a property into a rental may sound like easy money, but there are several important things to consider. Let's get some help from Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And when we talk about turning a property into a rental, are we talking about that is your game plan? You purchase an investment property with the intent to sell someday, or you're in a situation where you have to move, you have been unable to sell your old house, and so you rent it out for a couple of months until you find a buyer?
Yeah, those are both a lot of options that are being talked about in today's market because, you know, the market is kind of, you know, stagnant and these folks have got to make these decisions. And I think there's a lot of things to consider when you're doing these things because, you know, you got to watch out what's going on out there. There's market, the market is kind of going to dictate what happens and you got to be careful because, you know, if you've never done this before, there's, you know, ways you can do it right and there's ways you can get kind of caught up in this trap of getting yourself in a little trouble.
I remember the idle chit-chat that was taking place when we closed on my current house, and another real estate agent was saying, you know what you should do? You should immediately go out and buy a condo and turn that into a rental property, and then you can write off all the maintenance and repair, and then you can sell it for a gain and pay for your kids' college education. And I said, wait a minute, let's slow down. This is my first home. This is you're talking about advanced math. I mean, this is algebra, and I'm learning how to add. So I'll put that under advisement.
Yeah, that's a great tip. About 50% of the way. So, you know, realistically, you know, the advice that's out there, and there is so much advice out there. There's so many people online that are talking about doing this and the how-tos and things. But really, you got to kind of baby step into it because there's so many other things to consider, and really the tax laws that are behind it, and the, you know, the steps and how to do it. You really need to kind of step back a little bit and see, you know, how you want to step into doing this, because being a landlord isn't just as easy as saying, I'm going to go ahead and sell my property, I'm going to go ahead and buy this, and I'm going to rent it out, because it changes, first of all, your tax bracket, because, you know, are you going to live in this? Is this going to be a primary residence? Was this your primary residence? Is, you know, because if you still have your mortgage on that, and you're now renting it out, and you're going to go live somewhere else, it certainly changes the whole dynamic of your financial portfolio. So you just really need to know a little bit more about it. So you got to ask a few more questions than just, you know, diving in and doing it. So consult a few of the professionals before doing it.
And also, you have to have a Rolodex of people who can address various mechanical issues in the rental unit almost at the ready. Because if you have a tenant and the toilet stops flushing at 3 o'clock in the morning, you need to have somebody who can get out there at the dawn's early light to fix that toilet.
Amen. Unless you are a you know, handyman yourself, or if you're a plumber or an electrician, you know, or if you have a property management company that is going to do this, and by the way, they're not free, you will also have to, you know, respond, be Johnny on the spot to get out there and fix whatever issue is broken. So either A, you're going to be hiring a management company and paying them a fee, or B, like, you know, waking up with that baby that's going to be crying in the middle of the night and dealing with those issues. So yes, you'll be tending to all of those things as well.
So there's no such thing as easy money, and that is certainly the case in real estate.
When you find it, Rob, you please let me know because I'll jump on board with you.
That'll be my last day on the Noon Business Hour where I reveal all of the secrets to easy money. Drew Wishover, Amen. Founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, making sure you're not missing out on the free credit card awards that you've earned.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Surveys indicate many consumers are failing to take advantage of the credit card awards they are eligible to receive. Let's find out how to make sure you're not leaving them on the table. We're joined by Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst with LendingTree in Austin, Texas. Matt, thank you for joining us today. When we talk about the millions of dollars that in credit card rewards that Americans are leaving on the table, how many millions are we talking here?
We're talking big, big numbers. And the unfortunate thing is that people need to people don't need to hang on to them. They're not the type of thing that you should be hoarding, because the important thing to remember is that these are generally depreciating assets. They're not going to get more valuable as time goes. So while you don't want to just spend them on anything to get your value, holding on to them for a long time is not the best idea.
Now, what type of credit card rewards are we talking about here? Because it seems like the most common credit card reward programs are, you know, airline miles or hotel room credit or even cash back rewards on specific categories of purchases during a specific quarter of the year.
Yeah, I mean, cash back is definitely the most popular, so that is likely the most what most people are talking about. But where you run into a lot of people hoarding a bunch of points and miles is around travel stuff. And that's fine if you're working towards a big goal like a trip to Paris or Hawaii or something like that. But for the most part, if you're just kind of gathering them to gather them, you're far better off using them sooner rather than later instead of waiting.
Now, what are some ways that you can do? What are some things that you can do to make sure you're not leaving those credit card rewards on the table, and responsibly, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best things that you can do is just have the right card in the first place. And because that really matters, because me personally, with my opinion on rewards, is I'm looking for as much flexibility as I can get. It's one thing if you regularly fly an airline or use a hotel, then those sorts of rewards are great. But for most people, getting a card that you can use those points or miles with lots of different hotels, lots of different airlines, lots of different situations, sets you up best to use those cards and not just have them go to waste.
And it goes without saying that you should be able to pay off your balance every month. Just don't rack up a lot of credit card debt just so you can rack up a lot of rewards along with it.
Oh, yeah. The last thing anybody should do is overspend to get credit card rewards, because interest rates are so high that it doesn't take very long for any interest that you any rewards that you have earned to be completely outweighed by the interest that you might pay.
Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst with LendingTree in Austin, Texas. Thank you for joining us today.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Mike Krauser. A CPD officer accidentally fires a weapon while taking robbery suspects into custody.
A powerful and era-defining national lawmaker won't be seeking another term. In Technology Thursday, the roles of AI and AR in the future of shopping, and the key to successful financial preparation for college is starting early. WBBM Business, the markets are lower. The Dow is down 666 points. The NASDAQ is down 167. The S&P 500 is down 51. We have sunny skies, but just 20 degrees right now in Chicago. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. A Chicago police officer discharged his weapon on the west side overnight following a car chase that began on the south side. The details from WBBM's Mike Krauser.
There had been a pursuit starting on the northbound Dan Ryan at 63rd Street at about 3 a.m. A trooper tried to pull over a car that both CPD and ISP were monitoring following a robbery. The driver sped away, leading a chase that went north and then west for about 13 miles. It ended with a crash at Cicero and Monroe. Three people in the car tried to run. A statement from Chicago police says while they were being taken into custody, an officer's weapon accidentally discharged. Nobody was hit. Two of the suspects and one officer were taken to hospitals for observation, meaning no serious injuries. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Former Republican Senate leader, former Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he will not seek re-election next year. McConnell made the announcement today. It's his 83rd birthday. The Kentucky lawmaker was first elected to the Senate in 1984. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are lower today. We welcome in Steve Esposito, president of Yellowstone Wealth Management in Lake Forest. Steve, thank you for joining us today. And for months, years even, Steve, all of the questions about the state of the economy always had one answer. And that answer was, as long as the consumer continues to spend, the economy is going to weather all of the external shocks. But today, Walmart came out with some guidance that suggested that maybe the consumer is not as interested in spending as it once was. So what does that say about the state of the economy?
Oh, Robin, thank you for having me. Yeah, that's, I think, what triggered a market dropping off today. I think also we've had a big move here, and you got a lot of the momentum names have been pulling back. So I think that has more to do with it. It's time for a little bit of a pullback. Excuse me, nothing I'm really that concerned with going forward. But yeah, that caused enough concern. But I do think it's an overreaction today. I really do. I think the future looks pretty bright right now, and I think investors got to regroup. And I'd be in there looking for some bargains if this continues. I think there's some good opportunities out there.
And also, I mean, the other behavioral thing that we noticed today is that the S&P 500 hit a new fresh high yesterday. And it seems like whenever one of the major indices breaks a record, investors pull back a little bit and catch their breath. And that could probably explain some of the activity we're seeing today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's people that have some nice profits. It's been a very good first
couple of months in the market, and people are taking some money off the table, especially in the momentum names. Many of them have been pretty stretched on a valuation basis. But it's interesting. If you look at where it is today, you look at the breadth of the market, the advanced decline line, and it's 3-2 negative. So it's not as bad as one would think based on looking at the headlines and some of the bigger names that are dropping 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even 10% in some cases are down. But yet the breadth of the market, the broad market, is holding up pretty well. And I think that's a good sign. This could be the market broadening out and rotating some cash out of some of the higher valued names into the, some of the cheaper stocks. And I think if that's the case, that's a good thing. That's healthy for the market.
Now, even with what maybe, you know, in what you term an overreaction to the Walmart kind of revising its guidance lower, it also seems to jibe with the recent report on retail sales that saw a big pullback in the month of January. And that is, it's a tradition. It's an annual tradition. I mean, nobody, you don't spend Christmas levels into January and beyond. You just enjoy the stuff you got on Christmas morning. But is that something that's worth keeping an eye on?
I think so. But as you made a good point, it's not really that significant. We'll see what happens as you get into spring, and then, of course, back to school will make a difference. But we'll see as things progress going forward what the Fed does. On the interest rates, you look at today, they're actually down today. If you look at the twos and the tens, for years we were upset that the yield curve was inverted, and now it's a normalized yield curve. So you're not seeing a real big change in interest rates with the Walmart announcement, which is interesting. And as I said, the breadth of the market, you've got 1,500 up and 2,300 down on New York. That doesn't signal a bad day for the broad market. It's just it's focused in the momentum and the indices and the big names we all know about. So I think the consumer is going to be fine. We'll see what the inflation and what the Fed chooses to do. But that's going to be a key going forward. What is the Fed going to do?
And with the market broadening out, I think we should define that for the listeners, because I think for the last for a couple of years or so, when we talk about the success of equities, we talk about those Magnificent Seven, those big tech stocks that were really kind of the engine driving the bear market for a very long time. But if the market broadens out, what does that mean for investors?
Well, you know, the market itself, you have the S&P 500, of course, and, of course, thousands of other companies. But when you look at the S&P 500 and you look at the top 10 names make up roughly 40% of the market in the S&P 500, and then the rest of the market, the other 490 make up the rest, and the bottom 200 really are almost negligible of an impact. So when you hear the market, people refer to the S&P 500. It doesn't represent really the broad market anymore. In fact, the disconnect is one of the widest in history, even worse than the dot-com bubble. So you could have almost a stealth bull market underneath, but it's not reflected in the indices because of the heaviest weighting of those top 10 names. So that's what's significant. I would look at the breadth going forward and see how that performs. So a lot of companies, again, could be doing well and their stocks could do well, but it's not reflected in the indices. And that's what I mean by that.
Steve Esposito, president of Yellowstone Wealth Management in Lake Forest, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, how your shopping experience is increasingly being shaped by the latest tech.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. The retail shopping experience is constantly changing as artificial intelligence, augmented reality, and robotics take a greater role. Let's check in with Bob Fibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And I don't know if you remember the movie Minority Report, which was Tom Cruise, and it was a glimpse into the future several decades down the road from its release in 2002. And there was the scene where the Tom Cruise character goes into the Gap, and they could read your eyes and figure out your shopping preferences and get your whole purchasing history. And that was maybe 25% true, ultimately. I mean, you do have technology following your purchasing trends, and that is one of the pieces of tech that will inform the shopping experience of the present and the future.
Yeah, well, I want to ask you, it might seem a little offbeat question. Do you have a piece of clothing you haven't worn for a long time, but you know it's there?
Oh, I know. Of course. I have a closet full of them.
Okay, that's what all of these retailers do. They have tons of data they are sitting on. And so what AI is able to do is to connect all these different places and say, hey, you know, why don't you go over here and look for that and go over here and connect these. And that's really what it's doing. You're sitting on a powerhouse of information. And yes, there's the creep factor of do you really want to be greeted by, you know, a robot or even then a human being? Hey, Rob, nice jeans that you bought 3 weeks ago at our location. And, right, I mean, that'd be a little weird, but you know, what they're touting for we're going to be able to do is you're going to have a little agent, a digital twin like you, and you'll send your digital twin out into the world to go find you an outfit and come back and tell it to you and show it to you, and you don't have to do anything. That's where they're hoping to go. But you know, right now it's things like Amazon's go in, walk in, walk out technology, so that it's reading all of those, or virtual try-ons with augmented reality. And there's a lot of ways that essentially what they're trying to do is to make online more like offline in a store, and then bringing that back into the store. And I think there's some mixed, mixed thoughts about that, because there's the creep factor. You know, when I was talking to the VP of stores at Disney not that long ago, and they said, you know, right now we think the coolest thing in the world, we could do it right now, is when your daughter walks into one of our stores and she could be greeted by her favorite princess by name. But parents would just be so creeped out by it, we can't figure that out. So yeah, they never went anywhere with it, right?
I was going to say, with some of these technological innovations where you have AI that tries to use all of this information that exists out there and then, you know, try to cater personalized, you know, retail suggestions to you, if you judge somebody simply based on their browsing history, and this is keeping the discussion merely G-rated, Bob, if you do, even if you do that, like just based on your browsing history, that could present like a portrait of Dorian Gray looking back at you, and that could creep you out and be rather disappointing. So how do you use this tech in a way that it doesn't chase the customer away?
This is all an excellent point you're making, my friend, which is past behavior is just that. It's past behavior. It doesn't necessarily mean that's what I'm going to look for. You know, my dad was in the nursing home and I had to buy Grampers. I got all these, ads along all the web pages I was seeing. That's nothing new. They're just elevating into a new way. But the thought is that the predictive abilities of AI, in other words, I've got all these different random points and I can connect it with other shoppers who do the same thing, that I can predict likelihood we know that this is what you're going to buy. That's what they think the value is. And you're seeing this in your social feeds, right? I mean, you're seeing all kinds of ads and you're like, yeah, I think that's kind of cool. We are being exposed to it. We just don't think of it as AI. We just think it's an ad that found us.
And then lastly, that last mile problem could be solved by drone delivery, but that always seemed like an idea that maybe 2 years away, and it's been 2 years away for 10 years now. So are we getting closer?
Theoretically, you know, you hear about somebody in Texas, they delivered a Slurpee from 7-Eleven to someone that was really remote. And like, isn't this great? And I'm like, yeah, the day I see drones going down Michigan Avenue to deliver packages, I think they'll be flying cars before that. I just think the security issues around all of it are too high. And let's face it, that's be a great target to have kids throw things at. You know, in Los Angeles, they're rolling out more of these robotic delivery service on wheels to certain neighborhoods, because they can pretty much predict with AI that they're probably safer and be all right. So it's, the future is here with us, my friend. We just don't necessarily notice that it's AI. We just think, oh, look at that. And it's looking back to finish our thought.
Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us today. Find him online at theretaildoc.com.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
College may seem to be far away as students move through middle and then high school, but it will arrive shockingly quickly. Let's talk about getting started early with Craig Bolanos, co-founder and chief executive, VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And if there's one thing I have learned in adulthood, Craig, when you look at something and there's a deadline and it may seem like you have all the time in the world, you really don't. And that applies to your kid in college. And if they're looking at freshman year next year, the graduation day is going to sneak up before you know it.
Oh, this hits so close to home. In fact, I'm so happy that we're on our final semester of college bills for all of our kids. But don't put off for tomorrow what you need to do for today, because this is the avalanche issue in American financial planning, and we've got to start those family conversations early. I would say as early as freshman year of college to make sure the student and parents are aligned on a pathway to success.
Now, ideally, if you have an eighth grader, you have already been saving for your child's college education from infancy. I mean, I know my oldest daughter, her college account was opened shortly after her christening, and she was 2 months old. So let's say you've done all of that, but now you're approaching your freshman year in high school. You want to talk about college. What are the financial conversations you should have? And quite frankly, what are some of the academic conversations you should have to make sure you're well positioned for scholarships?
Well, that's right. I think it starts with the financial piece. You know, the family needs to be aligned on what's going to be the attitude. Are mom and dad going to underwrite? Is it going to be the student's responsibility? Or is it going to be a hybrid approach? And then the family needs to be realistic with the student. Are we going to be doing the standard four-year package? Or are we going to do another favorite, which is the 2x2, 2 years of community, and then 2 years of going away? And the truth, Rob, is even though many people started saving and investing early, growing their asset base, the sheer cost of college is making this an avalanche issue in American financial planning. That's why there's $1.8 trillion of student loan debt out there.
And is this also a situation, just given the exploding cost of college, which, as you point out, is a crushing source of debt for many people, setting expectations and maybe dialing back on what some of those expectations should be as you go into high school?
Well, I think that's just it, because it's not just the exploding, you know, cost of college. People need to look very carefully at how expensive standard borrowing costs are. Those federal direct student loans for the students are going off north of 6.5. Parent PLUS loans are currently at 9.08. That's 9%. So I think it's paramount that both students and parents ensure that there is value in exchange for that college degree and that college experience, which means we really need to be focused on what's going to be the best academic pursuit in exchange for the monies that we're investing.
Craig Bolanos, co-founder and chief executive of VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. Thank you for joining us today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.